everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Southern Onion. I'm Erica.
And I guess that makes me Erin.
It would, yeah. Way to go, Erin. Yeah. You're the smart one of the two, for sure. All right, we thank you all so much for joining us today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all the new follows and the new listeners. We appreciate you all so, so much. We're having a blast doing this and hope you are listening as well.
Phew. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And if you have a comment, a question for us, we are on Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast, or you can send us an email at southernonion2@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and any ideas that you have for us. We're open. Our ears are open.
Yep.
We listen with joyful hearts. And if we don't like it, then whatever. It's fine. We'll still be friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're nice people.
We are.
We've got a little different sense of humor, but we're nice people, generally, don't you think, Erin?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope everybody has had a great week. Erin, how's your week been?
Good. It's been good. And?
Oh, yeah, the surprise. Yes.
The surprise. Okay.
Finally. Okay.
Yes, this is the big reveal. So, I know, I entered Maggie into the Budweiser official tasting officer position. It's a contest that they're doing. And so, I had to send a picture in of her and kind of like a biography type thing or what her qualifications are. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to post the picture that I sent in.
Yes.
On our Insta.
Yep. It'll be up on Instagram Monday or in the morning. Yeah, it'll be morning time. I'll try to do it before I head to work. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited. We have not heard anything yet because it just closed on April 28th.
Correct. And what is the product that that Maggie is tasting? Oh. It is not beer.
Right. It's dog beer. Okay. It's dog beer. It's beer that Budweiser is promoting for dogs, I guess. But it's dog beer.
Yes.
And it tastes like, I think it said it was like a beef flavored beer or pork flavored beer or something like that. Yeah.
But it's for dogs.
Yeah, it is for dogs to drink. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I just didn't want people thinking you signed her up to drink beer. Yeah.
No.
But if Budweiser wants to sponsor us, that's fine too.
Yeah. We're cool with that too. Yeah. So no, I'm really excited. It's the cutest picture.
Yes, it is. I have seen it because I'm the twin. I have privileges, but it's a cute picture, and I will include also the paragraph that Erin wrote with it because it's hilarious. You really did well on writing this.
Thank you. Yeah. I think everybody will enjoy this. Fingers and paws crossed that she wins. Who knows?
Yeah,
but
I know. Good luck.
I mean, it's exciting.
I could be aunt to a celebrity, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It hasn't gone to her head too much, so.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. 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 You know, because my cats do nothing, so.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I've told them about their cousin Maggie, and, you know, they're just like, good for her, and they go back to sleep, so.
Yeah. Sounds about right, so.
Well, all right. So, yay. Good luck.
Yeah. So, we're excited. So, we'll see what happens. I'll keep you guys posted.
For dog beer.
Yes.
What a great time to be alive. Dog beer.
Yep.
Have a cold one and let your dog have a cold one with you. So
there you go.
Awesome. Yay.
Yeah, I know. So how has your week been?
Week has been good. Ever since we've hit 40 for me, it's been my check engine light just does not go off. Every time I get, what's this ache, and figure it out, well, then I get another one. So I'm sure a lot of people can relate. And so I went to a vein doctor, not vain as in I'm so vain, but for my leg. And so I had all that done. And that's an interesting process. They do ultrasounds on your legs. Everything's fine. But I swear they don't use that much gel, but it's like going to the beach and you just keep finding sand. It's like that. I'm like, why is this gel here? What is this? So that's been good. And then, video games, getting outside more because it's getting nice out. I've started going back to the gym, and this has been since, since the pandemic. And, you know, you can work out with a mask on.
Yeah,
you will not.
You should
I have yet to pass out, you know, so. So that's been interesting, and where I go, they take precautions. You know, everybody's wiping down equipment for the most part. There's some, you know, rude people that don't, but the majority of people still do. So that's good, you know. So just making it through, studying for my boards PTA. So that's in July, so a ways off. But, yeah, so just having fun. So,
yeah.
Hope everybody else has had a good week. And
yes.
So I figure, you know, you all have listened to us now for a few episodes. I think this is episode 11 or 12. I can't.
Yeah, wow.
I should have wrote that down. Bad preparation, Erica.
That's all right.
I'm like, let's get to know the twins just a little bit more, right? So I've not told you what I'm going to ask you.
I have no idea, guys,
nope.
By the way.
Yeah, no idea. And it's not bad. It's nothing, you know, risque or anything like that. So, Aaron, what music pumps you up? Like you go to this band or this artist, and for when you just need a pick me up. So, who do you listen to?
Oh, for a pick me up, okay.
Yeah,
Katy Perry.
Yeah, yes, I love her.
I don't know why. I like Katy Perry for, and there's this song, I think it's called Slave to the Rhythm.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
that song.
Why I like that song so much,
yeah.
But yeah.
That Turn It Up, it's your favorite song. And
Yeah. I don't know
that's
why.
That's a good one.
I don't know. That's my song. So,
that's good. That's your jam.
Yeah.
I love it.
Because when I work out and stuff, like I listen to, I don't know, like just whatever Spotify has on or Pandora.
Yeah.
But yeah, but if I'm like, ooh, I want to get kind of pumped up. I know it's Katy Perry. I know
Katy Perry. That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I love it. I think that's a great.
Yeah.
That's a
it's
great
choice.
It's
not too hardcore, right?
No,
yeah.
Not at all. No, I like it.
Yeah.
No, yeah. My pump up theme song, it changes a lot. You know, a lot through the year. But right now, I am in such a rabbit hole of Jan Arden. And if you don't know who Jan Arden is, she is a Canadian singer-songwriter. She broke into the U.S. in the mid-90s with the song Insensitive. That's where you probably know her from. But she's had this huge successful career in Canada. But she has a show on Hulu. So if anybody knows Jan Arden, tell her I love her and want to be friends with her. You know, we'll just go ahead and put that out there. But she has this song called I Am an Army. And it's just a good, like, you can't tell me what to do. You're not going to change me kind of person. I'm my own army, and I don't do what I'm told. I just, I don't know. It's just a great song. So a lot of times before I go into work, I'll sit in the car and listen to it.
Pump yourself up.
Yeah. And then go work in physical therapy and be like, you can't tell me I won't bend your knee. So
you got to get your mind right.
That's right. Got to get your mind right. Exactly. So there's a little glimpse into us. So, you know, and also, let's see, Aaron, what's one of your favorite childhood memories? How about that? Of us and what we would do.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, this is awful. I remember I could not ride a bicycle to save my life.
No, you
couldn't. And I had, guys, this is embarrassing, but I had training wheels when I was like in fourth, fifth grade. And it's so true. I couldn't ride a bicycle.
Yeah.
So yep. Erica and I, this is like the funniest thing. Erica and I were riding our bicycle, and I used to ride on the back. I used to make Erica like,
yeah, you would
ride
sit
me around
in the
bicycle.
Seat. Right. You would sit in the seat and I would stand up and pedal. Right.
Right, right. I used to make Erica do all the work.
Yeah.
So we had like this, I know, we had this hill in our backyard.
Yep.
And we were going to go down the hill. And you know, when you're a little kid, it's like, oh, this is going to be so scary. And you know, we went down the hill and as we go back up, I fell off the bicycle and Erica goes, man, that just got lighter all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Falling off the back.
I thought my legs got really strong. and then I turned around and Aaron's at the bottom of the hill.
And I had tire marks on my shorts.
So I ran over her up.
Yeah.
I didn't run over her down, but over her up. Yeah. And she had this tire track because she had like neon shorts on her. I mean,
I did.
It was the 90s. It's what we wore, but you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was funny.
I will never forget that as long as I live. Yeah,
I won't either. Me thinking I was strong and powerful. And no, it's because you fell off.
Yeah. And I still don't know if I can ride a bicycle. I can do stationary bike.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
I know, right? It's probably the safest right now. So.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, that's a little glimpse just into our world and who, kind of who we are, where we're from, personality-wise. So hope you've enjoyed. We'll keep sharing. And if you have a question that you want to know about us when we were growing up, feel free. Instagram, Southern Onion Podcast, or email us, southernonion2@gmail.com. So now let's get to peeling back the layers on this case. It's sad. First, though, so I don't forget this, Tom. This is a shout out to our listener, Amanda, who recommended the topic for today. So, woohoo!
Thank you, Amanda. This was a good one.
Yes. Yeah, very good one, because Aaron didn't know too much about it. And I remember it just because I still live in Tennessee when it was going on. So, Amanda, thank you. You rock, and you are a Wonder Woman. Never forget it. Yes. So, for me, I went to a website called we're going to be talking about the case of Holly Bobo. Let me say that.
Yes, yes.
So let's peel back the layers on her case. So for me, I went to a website called allthatsinteresting.com. I used the Google, and also watched a documentary on YouTube called from the Law and Crime Network. It's called the Holly Bobo documentary, and Dan Abrams, who I'm sure we've all heard of, narrates it, and that's on YouTube. So what all did you watch, Erin?
I ended up watching 2020. Mm-hmm. The episode is called Justice for Holly, and it's season 40, episode 3.
Okay.
And that's what I watched, and then I started to watch the one you did, but then mine kept messing up, so I ended up having to bail on it. Mm. But yeah, that's the one that I watched, and I think you can get it online, or if the ABC app is where I watched it through.
Yeah, you can just go to abc.com, and then just, it helps if you know the season. So season 40, episode 3, you said?
Correct.
Yep. Yeah, so if you'll just go there, it'll take you right to it. So, and it's free to watch, just abc.com.
Yeah. And it wasn't long. It was about 40 minutes. So, you know, sometimes 2020 will have like this 2-hour drawn out. But they didn't. This was only about 40 minutes. So it's a quick watch compared to what we were used to.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So Holly Bobo, what I found out about Holly was she was a 20-year-old nursing student that was going to the University of Tennessee. And I have to say, go Lady Vols, even though it was not the Knoxville campus. But so she is from Darden, Tennessee. Now, where's Darden, you ask? That's West Tennessee. It's just east of Jackson, and it's 100 miles southwest of Nashville. Just to kind of give you an idea of where Darden, Tennessee is. It's Decatur County. Is the county that she's in. So this is kind of like a town where we grew up, where it's just a small town. Everybody kind of knows everybody. A lot of farmland. You know, people don't live on top of each other like they do in the suburban areas, where, you know, everybody has the same house, just a different door color. With Holly, she disappeared on April 13th, 2011. It was the most expensive search for a missing person in Tennessee history. And I think that still stands as of today from what I could see.
Wow.
She was last seen by her brother Clint at around 8 a.m. that morning, walking into the woods outside of her home with a man wearing camouflage. So even where we're from, Aaron, again, even though I'm the only one left in Tennessee, you know, camouflage is just a fashion statement here. Everybody has, I don't, but, you know, and so to say, oh, it's somebody wearing camouflage. Well, okay. Everybody has camouflage. So
yeah, it's really popular.
Yeah. So that was kind of one thing. So reports that I found where on that morning, Holly had gotten up early because she was studying, because she needed to go. She had a test that day in school. Her brother Clint woke up to sounds of the dog, their family dog barking. He looks out the window and sees Holly kneeling and facing a large dark-haired man dressed in camo and wearing a hat. So if I were to be woken up by a family dog and looked outside and saw anybody that I knew kneeling in front of somebody else,
right,
my nosy butt is getting out there. And like, what, why? Or who is kneeling and why? What is going on? At 8 in the morning, I mean...
Yeah.
So
are you hurt? Is something wrong?
Right.
Are you sick?
Right. Because you don't know. Exactly. They're camoed in hats, so you can't make out who it is. So I would be out there. I'd be like, excuse me. Or I'd just be like, oh, I'm taking the trash out, you know, just to get a look. So Clint said he thought it was Holly's boyfriend, Drew Scott. And Drew Scott is not really mentioned much in this, anything I found. So, he does not hear what they're talking about, but Clint just thinks it's an argument. So I don't know if this is something Holly and Drew did a lot. But, I mean, it's 7:45, 8 in the morning. Good grief, you know. But now the neighbor, their neighbor, who evidently lived kind of far off, but close enough, he said he heard arguing, loud voices that day as well. And so the neighbor who heard this called Holly and Clint's mom, who works at a school. And the mom calls Clint and says, hey, this is not Drew. You need to get a gun and shoot him. Because Clint kept saying, hey, doesn't Holly have school today? Why is she going into the woods with Drew turkey hunting? You know, it just to him, it didn't seem odd that she was walking into the woods with somebody, you know, because the neighbor had called the mom first. So I would think if our mother called us and said, that's not so-and-so's boyfriend, get a gun and shoot him. I think I would take it a little serious. Like, this is not something our mother would normally say. I'm sure it wasn't something that Holly's mom would say normally. So I think to me that would raise a huge red flag and I would be like in panic mode. Like, what is going on here?
Right. Well, and especially his response was, so you want me to shoot Drew? So in his mind, he really thought this was Drew.
Yeah. Like because he could not conceive that it would have been anybody else. And why would you think it would be anybody else at 7:45 in the morning in camo? It was turkey season, I think. I think it was turkey hunting season during that time.
Yes.
So it was like, oh my gosh. So you know Clint's got to feel bad. Because once he's like, no, I'm not going to get a gun. I'm not going to go shoot her boyfriend. So he looks out again and he sees Holly walking into the woods with this guy, with this unknown male. That's the last time she's seen alive by him, by the family. Clint did call Holly and the boyfriend, Scott. Of course, neither of them answer. Scott was actually out hunting, but on Holly's grandmother's property. So that's why he didn't answer. Holly didn't answer because she probably didn't have her phone or, you know, she's being kidnapped. So they usually don't let you take phone calls. Or so I've heard. And so now Clint decides, oh, crap. I've just made a lot of mistakes here in a row, and I should have listened to Mom. So Mom calls 911 and is like, you've got to get over to the house. She's been kidnapped. They've taken her into the woods. And when Clint goes downstairs to, I guess, kind of track, see where Holly was going, he saw blood on the pavement next to Holly's car. And now he knows, oh, no. So then Clint calls 911, and... I mean, from what I can tell, they just descended upon their house and was like, okay, here we go, looking for her. And the dad says during trial, I can't imagine being a parent. Your child has just gone missing. And anybody that works around medical personnel, first responders, law enforcement, they are taught, and I was taught when I was in school, do not act nervous, anxious, worried, scared, because people will feed off of that. So if you've ever had to call an ambulance, which I hope you haven't, but have you ever watched how they come out of the ambulance? You think they are walking in molasses. It's like, will you hurry up and get in here, you know? And you feel right. like they're moving in slow motion. So the dad talked about how he felt like the cops were all, because I think TBI was there, FBI was there, local police, law enforcement were there. And he said it all looked like they were just standing around not caring about anything. And it's like, well, you got to understand, they do a lot that you don't know about. And right. they're trying to keep the calm. You want the people to help you be panicked? No, you don't. You want everybody right. to be calm. So there's several players in this case. A lot yeah. of guys to talk about. God, ugh. They are winners. Prosecutors, of course, had a lot of pressure on them. This is a young, beautiful girl, blonde. I don't recall anybody saying anything bad about her. Friends adored no. her. Great personality. So of course prosecutors are put under the microscope, and it's easy for all of us on the outside looking in, you know, sure. but plus in any situation, it's hard to sit by and not be able to help, you know,
sure.
if yeah. we can't help, we criticize, because that's our way of, that's a human way of dealing with things. So, all right. So now I want to get into the suspects. Yeah. So here we go. So the first one I have, the first suspect, is Terry Britt. Now, he is also known as Chester the Molester.
Oh, Lord.
So he is a registered sex offender that lived near the Bobo's home. And right. police searched his home but found nothing, so no charges. And it showed him in court, and they're like, well, when the police got to your house, you answered the door and said, I didn't do anything to her. Why did you say that? And he was like, because I didn't, and I knew why they were coming to my house. I mean, yeah. he just yeah. seemed like, look, I made my mistakes. I'm staying out of trouble. So, and to me, that made sense. I mean, he just seemed like, just stop. Just don't even look anymore at me, because it's not me. So, then, though, and I'm sure you've got a lot to say on this, so I'll let you go. It said, no, yeah, then the police turned their attention to Zach and Dylan Adams.
Oh, Lord. That's all I can say today.
Right? These brothers.
The two brothers, yes.
The two brothers, yeah. All right. So what did you find out about Zach and Dylan?
My documentary didn't go too much with them other okay. than... that Zach was going around bragging about mm-hmm. abducting Holly mm-hmm. and was saying things to people like, you better watch out or I'll do to you what oh, happened yeah. to Holly and all those things. Mm-hmm. And his brother, Dylan, he was intellectually, had some intellectual difficulties yep. and things like that. So he, of the two brothers, they said he was the weaker one.
Yes. Yeah. 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 He, Dylan was arrested on unrelated weapon charges. So mm-hmm. obviously he's had a record, and a lengthy one to be already right. in jail. And while in custody, and again, they're not sure why, but the police started to suspect the brothers.
Right.
Dylan, like you said, has a mental disability. Told police he went to his brother's house, went to Zach's house on April 13th, 2011, and saw his brother Zach and a friend, a mutual friend, Jason Autry, with Holly. Mm-hmm. Now, Dylan alleges that Zach had on camo shorts and told Dylan he had a video of himself raping Holly.
Wow.
So, the police search for the video, and believe it or not, they actually find two more suspects, two other brothers, Jeff and Mark Piercy. Mm. So... the good Lord. Anyway.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you're like, okay. So they get with Sandra King, who is a former roommate of Jeff Piercy. She claimed that she saw a clip of Holly being assaulted, that it was on Jeff's phone. And let me go ahead and take this moment here. I'm walking up on my soapbox here.
right. No.
Ladies. We have got to protect each other. And yes. If you see something like that, horrific, even not just a teensy bit, just something that is an assault, is a harm on another female, report it immediately. Do right. not wait for police to show up and be like, yeah. hey, we heard you might know something about this. Women have got to help women.
Right. It blows my mind that all these people knew this was going on and did not do a thing.
No, they sat there. They yeah. sat there. That's why this case went on for freaking ever. Because yeah. everybody just sat there.
Yeah.
Good. Do better, people. Just do better. Oh, my gosh.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Okay. Let me spray down some holy water here and get myself back together.
Yeah. Get the spray bottle out. Okay. Yeah.
So, Sandra said that Jeff's brother Mark was the one recording the video. Now, the video was never found on either brother's phone, which, hello, you can just set your phone back to default. It's all in factory right. settings. So, right. charges were dropped against the Piercy brothers. There was nothing yeah. more that they could find, unfortunately. So, here another lead goes. Still, don't know where Holly's at. Don't know what's happened.
Right, yeah.
So, Dylan, still talking to the police, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, he tells them about Shane Austin. Now, Shane has, Shane was also involved, or is implemented, Dylan is saying, that Shane was also involved in the rape and murder of Holly. Mm-hmm. Police find Austin and agree to grant Austin immunity if he could lead them to Holly's body.
Right.
So, he agrees. He's like, all yeah. right, great. But he fails to do so and just leads police to an empty patch of property, of land, and nothing's right. there. So, I'm going to go ahead and foreshadow here. Why yep. would you help police if you are innocent? Why would you not just say, I don't know right. what you're talking about. I didn't do anything. Why are you granting me immunity? I have nothing to do with this. And I'm not going to lead you anywhere because I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, exactly.
Now, that's all I'm going to say right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, he was another winner. We dropped ourselves.
Yes, we did.
Aww.
I'm okay. I'm
Erin,
back. I'm back.
Erin's just
okay.
so upset. She's throwing her microphone
That's
around.
Right. I just tore me up. Yeah. Just tore me up.
Right. So, this keeps going on, you know, trying to find out where Holly's at. Holly's remains were found by two ginseng hunters. And if you don't know ginseng hunters, I mean, I think there's shows on the History Channel. But ginseng hunting is like serious. It is a root that you find in the ground. Of course, where else would roots be? Anyway. And people sell them. Like, you can make serious money off ginseng hunting. So, you've not
heard
of
that.
Yeah.
No.
It's popular. I mean, where I still live, you know, it's popular, and there's signs up on the side of the road because, and it's like, oh, we buy ginseng, you know, and here's our phone number.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I mean, there's people that'll make $30,000-$40,000 in like 2 months' time just ginseng hunting. So, I mean, it's popular. You can grow your own ginseng, but yeah, this is so off topic, but you can grow your own ginseng, but I think it takes like 5 years before you really get a good product.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, but
learn something new every day,
exactly,
tell you,
right?
Right?
Yeah. So they, so her remains were found in February of 2015. So this is almost 4 years after Holly is seen by Clint walking into the woods. The hunters found a bucket with remains that turned out to be Holly's. And it was a skull, ribs. But what they noticed on the skull is that it looked like it had showed a gunshot wound in her left cheek.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was found about 20 miles outside of Darden. So, really not that far. From,
right.
But ginseng, you have to go really into the woods to find because it needs to grow where there's not a lot of traffic, foot traffic and pollution and stuff. So, that made me sad. to know, you know, that's where. So what all did you have? Did you have anything else on?
No, the documentary, like yours, it just basically said two ginseng hunters found it. And in the skull, it showed obviously she had been shot. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what in the world? And there was like nothing really left.
Right. Yeah.
But, and in mine, it also said that they had found, before they had even discovered this, or the ginseng guys had found her, was that all of her stuff was being thrown, like her book bag, her purse, her phone. They were being thrown on back roads. So somebody definitely had the time, because she wasn't found for 4 years. Mm-hmm. So they had the time to go through and destroy evidence. Yeah. They had time to get rid of all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, and because, too, you got to think, police were looking at Chester the molester.
Right.
And, you know, because... What, I mean, how convenient, because he, allegedly, his top was young, blonde females.
Right,
which fit Holly's description, you know, but
right.
It's not always the obvious person, hello.
Right, exactly. But yeah, that's what was so sad about it, was they were finding all her stuff, but they just couldn't find her, and then finally, 4 years later, mm-hmm. they find her remains, and it's horrific just to know that she was shot.
Yeah. And by accident. She was found by accident.
Right, yeah. This was not anybody out looking.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is even scarier, because it's like, obviously this took some planning and forethought, and mm-hmm. they almost got away with it, had it not been for those hunters.
Yeah, yeah.
So, let's go back to Mr. Shane Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Shall we? So, Holly's remains were found in February 15. Mm-hmm. And in that same month, Shane Austin, who fiercely proclaimed his innocence, was found dead by apparent suicide.
Yep.
In Florida. Here we go with Florida again. And Austin's attorney claimed that he was driven to kill himself because of the quote-unquote witch hunt, and said his client cooperated fully and was totally innocent. So... okay, if we're cooperating, as in leading police on a alleged goose chase to an empty land, and agreed to take immunity if her remains were found, so that's why we agreed to immunity, and it does not sit right with me, you know. Innocent people usually do not commit suicide.
Yeah, this one didn't sit well either with me, mm-hmm. you know. That he just killed himself. And I think, but if you're innocent, what do you have to hide? What are you worried about?
Exactly. I mean,
does it make any sense?
Right. You can keep proclaiming that innocence, and, mm-hmm. and you can show that innocence. But so when that happened the exact same month that remains are found, like you're saying, I'm innocent. Then 3 years later, remains are found. Oh, I can't handle this anymore. I'm out.
Right.
Okay. Come on. You were involved. Do I think he did all of it? No. But I think he was involved.
Yeah, definitely. But now the other three,
mm-hmm.
Zach, Jason, and Dylan, they mm-hmm. get charged with murder.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think six people total are implemented in the murder, but only three go to trial.
Yeah.
And it would have been four had Austin not, you know...
Right.
Decided to leave Earth. So the trial mm-hmm. starts, and it's only 11 days.
Right. And Zach's the only one that stands trial alone.
Yes. Yeah.
But they did it individual. They did not lump them together.
Correct. And I agree with that, because they were all, of the three of them, they all proclaimed to have different roles in it. Now, Dylan, I'm not exactly for sure what he did. I think he was just around, I guess.
Yeah, because he wasn't giving the police anything. And anytime they would ask him questions, he would say yes, no.
Mm-hmm.
But he was never, like, given any details of anything.
Right, exactly. And for all of those making a murderer, Dylan really reminds me of Brendan Dassey. I couldn't help think of it, because this was the defense's story of Dylan, was he's diminished mental mm-hmm. capability. You've coerced him to say what you wanted to hear. How could you do this to this guy?
Right.
And we'll talk about sentencing here. And then, so remember, the defense is saying, hey, police coerced him. Hey, this isn't right. And then we'll talk about what happens with Dylan and sentencing here in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So Jason Autry, the friend of the Adams brothers, he becomes the star witness for the prosecution. So he, you know, he said he did not hurt Holly, but he only helped dispose of the body. So, quick other little side note Erica found. Jason Autry is a cousin of Shane Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, this is all a family, a gross family affair with the two brothers and with Shane and Jason. That's how they are all, and then Jason like just together. Have to be the link, being the friends to the Adams brothers. So I was like, oh, for goodness sakes. But
yeah.
So again, no one thinks to tell the police. You're telling me all these people helped dispose of Holly's body after this gruesome attack and murder, and nobody has the guts to go to the police and say, look, this is what happened. I need to clear my conscience about it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we're just
and the fact that Jason helped, but then he helped Zach.
Right.
But he never said like I felt threatened by Zach. I felt like Zach would do something awful to me if I did. Because you hear that a lot.
Oh yeah.
Where people say they wanted help disposing the body because if I didn't, they would kill my family or they would hurt me or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's not what he said. It was almost like he wanted help, so I just helped him.
Yeah. He said he just happened to come by the house. Well, to buy drugs, obviously. Right. And while there, he agreed to help with Holly's body. He states he went with Zach to the Tennessee River, which is, you know, runs pretty much across all of Tennessee. And and just also a little side note, a lot of bodies get dumped in the Tennessee River. Do not they swim do. In it. Ew.
That's right. Yeah.
Gross. So anyway.
Yeah.
And that Holly, they heard Holly moan and move a little bit. So Zach shot her, and that's where the gunshot wounds come from. And out of fear that someone heard the shot, they moved to another location. Now, because this guy is showing his really, really smart brain here, he shot her under a bridge. If you've never fired a weapon, if you've never discharged a gun, they are loud. They're loud. So when you shoot somebody under a bridge, that bridge is going to echo and amplify that sound 100 times louder. Right. And it's like if you get in a valley and you yell and you echo, 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 you know, that's what he did. Right. Like, you're so brilliant. Anyway. So Dylan described hearing the one shot, but you could hear it 3 times because of the echo, and that birds were flying everywhere, which obviously draws attention to that area because what was that noise? And you see birds come up, you know, from wherever it came from. So, again, not the smartest people we're dealing with here.
Right.
Yeah. So then the Adams brothers were found guilty and on September 2017. So this really case has not been closed that long.
No.
This was 6.5 years after Holly's disappearance. Zach received life in prison plus 50 years.
Yeah.
Now, he received that sentence because he was up for the death penalty. And he received that sentence because he made a deal with prosecutors that he would admit to the killing as long as he just got life in prison. Plus the 50 years. Because he didn't want to be on death row. Now that's right, Zach. Yeah. So then you get Dylan. And Dylan received 15 years for the murder. And 35 years for aggravated kidnapping through the Alford plea. Now remember, the defense is saying, you know, you've coerced him. You've made him say things, you know. Well, the Alford plea, it is a guilty plea a defendant maintains their innocence, but admits that prosecution's evidence would likely result in a guilty verdict if brought to trial.
Yeah, yeah.
And that this is done because the defendant lacks evidence to support their own defense. So the lawyer's been saying Dylan was coerced, but then still went with the Alford plea.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, so at least it was guilty.
Right. Yeah.
They found it, and, you know, they showed on the Law and Crime Network. Did I say that mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I think so.
They showed where Holly Bobo's mom got up there and made Zach look at her and was like, "No, you're going to look at me. I can't believe you did this. I know she fought for her life, and you still did all of this, and you bragged about it, you know? Yeah. Because, in small towns, if you're listening and don't live in a small town, people will talk about everything. They will talk about your dog going to the bathroom in the neighbor's yard, and somehow that news got all the way across town at the Walmart, you know? I mean,
exactly, yes.
So why are you going to brag about doing that and then be like, "Hey, it wasn't me, man. I was just taking my meth and minding my own business," you know?
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
So no. So then I looked, and there was an update in September of 2020. Jason Autry, the friend, you know, just mm-hmm. wanting his drugs, man. He just wanted his drugs. Right. In September 2020, he pleaded guilty to taking part in killing of Holly. But as part of his deal, he was released from prison.
Yeah.
He had been in prison for 8 years after pleading guilty to solicitation to commit murder and facilitate especially aggravated kidnapping. So he got credit for time served.
Right.
For those charges. Now, Holly, and so he was released. Holly's parents did support the deal, which I guess because they know that Zach was the one that they know, did it. He was the mastermind behind it.
Right.
So, of course, Zach is appealing his conviction, and then Dylan is still serving his 35 years.
Yeah.
In prison is what I have. But, you know, we watched different documentaries. Did they say anything about Holly? Like, was she one of those girls that were just really nice, and if somebody was like, "Oh, hey, can you help me out for a minute?" she would just go help, or...
I think from the impression I got from her that she loved to sing. Mm-hmm. She liked to sing in church. She was from a real good Christian family.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably would have been that person that would have been like, "Oh, you need help? Sure."
Mm-hmm.
But what struck me about this case was that why? That's like the big question. Like, was Zach and Dylan just riding along and was like, "Hey, there's a pretty girl. Let's just go and get her."
Right.
Or now there was a theory that Zach and Dylan were there mm-hmm. to give drugs to Clint, the brother.
Mm.
And while they were there, they saw Holly and that. But it was never, it was never concrete. It was never proven.
Right, yeah.
So that's the big question I walked away with this was why. I don't understand how Zach ended up being at Holly's. Was this planned out? Was this a spur of the moment thing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's the big questions I have. And of course, Zach is saying he's innocent.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's not talking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then of course, Jason, he was only there for a little while, allegedly.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not buying that either. So
no.
This case just kind of, it was, I don't know. It just leaves it with a bunch of questions that we'll never have answered.
Yeah. I mean, was it just that random stranger homicide? Because usually most mm-hmm. homicides occur from the victim knows the person.
Right. There's
it's a small percentage of people mm-hmm. who are actually killed by strangers, just random, And
right.
It's like there is a connection, but what is it? Is it, mm-hmm. was Clint buying drugs from them and maybe he didn't pay them? So they're like, "We're going to take your sister." And he's like, "Yeah, whatever, right. Was it something that sinister? Because, I mean, the TBI and Tennessee Bureau and the Federal Bureau evidently did not work very well together on this case. One was going off in one direction and the other was going off in another. And that's why it took 3 years just to get convictions, just to indict people in this. And it was like, what in the world? You know, so, but of course, we all know the justice system is flawed. Law enforcement is flawed. I mean, nothing is perfect.
But it works, but it's not perfect.
Right. So that just sad, but a lot of questions still that we're never going to know. I don't think some spirit is going to wash over Zach and he's going to be like, look, let me just tell you why, you know,
this is
what happened. And, you know, and I think Dylan probably is telling the truth, but you know, and he's like, well, this is what I did. I've got to serve my time, you know. And then the Autry guy's like, hey, get me out of here for a plea. So,
yeah, it's just, but this is a case I'd never heard of before. It was really interesting. It was really sad. It leaves a lot of questions. And I don't, this was a really different one because we've done a lot of high profile ones. So to have this one where there's some information, but not too much. It definitely makes you wonder.
It's like, what all's really happened? And, you know, were there other people involved and have other cases happened that led up to this murder? I mean, who knows? So again, thank you to Amanda for the topic suggestion. We love it. We want to hear from you all. So feel free to, you know, let us know. We want to hear from you. We really, really do. And also, if you could also pretty please comment, like, follow, all that good stuff. It really helps, especially on Apple. When you comment, it moves us up so that we can be seen. A bit more also on Spotify as well, and wherever else you're listening to us from, we appreciate it so, so much. So, next week.
Yes.
This one, because we're trying to, you know, kind of go all around, and this one was also submitted to us, and it is the first female the first female serial killer in Mexico. Her name is Juana Barraza, and I really hope I said that right. She was a nurse. She was also a wrestler. A Mexican wrestler. You know, in Mexico, when they wrestle, they have masks on. So, what's up? So this is going to be good. This is another one where it's a female serial killer. This one murders elderly people.
Oh.
So that's sad.
Oh, yeah, another one of those. No.
Yeah, another one. Yeah, I know. And I don't know about you, Erin. Every time we record these, for about an hour or two, every little noise I hear, I think, oh, my God, one of them found me.
I know, right? Yeah. No, it kind of sits with you for a little bit.
It does.
You know? Yeah, it does. It does,
well,
yeah.
You research it, and you might, you know, you so then you talk about it, and then it's in the front of your head, and I'm like, what's that? And it's just the cats, but,
Well, and here's a fun fact. Maggie has a wrestler name.
Maggie does?
What? She does. She's called Maggie the Masher.
Oh, my gosh. Of course, she has a wrestler name. Okay. All right. So we will make sure to get Maggie the Masher's picture up on our Instagram page Monday morning. So I'll do my best to get that done before work. So everybody, thank you again so much for all the love and support. It means so much to us. We're having such a blast doing this, and we are happy to have you all along for the ride. So until next time, take care, stay safe, and keep peeling back those layers of true crime. Bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.